When I was here last time, there was like 30 of y'all. Hey, so I get in these places sometimes. Y'all know I kind of ended a series the last time I preached a couple weeks ago, and we're kind of moving into hopefully a new-ish series, but I'm not there yet. And that's dangerous for y'all because that means I go into freestyle mode, which is sometimes complex. But let me, I kind of want to take you on, you're going to have to bear with me a little bit today. There may be some disjointedness, and hopefully over the few weeks to come, I can kind of hone in on some ideas and maybe clean this up. But oftentimes my mind works in a strange way. I'll read something or see something and it sparks a thought process. We're all the same. When we see something or read something, it sparks a process, our mind goes in a certain direction. And then oftentimes what we do is we try to chase that thread to see the validity in it. And so with that being said, about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was on the Fox News app, and the article that pops up was Bible sales are up. And I was like, this would be a fun article to read. So I opened it up, and the whole premise was that Bible sales have rapidly increased over the last year, but religion is still on a decline. And so immediately my mind started going, okay, I got to figure this out a little bit. Bible's on the increase, religion's on the decrease. And the article was based around a young lady. I don't remember now where she resides, but watching an interview with Phil Roberts from Duck Dynasty and seeing his Bible and how tattered it was and put together with duct tape and just how she thought, wow, what a legacy this guy's leaving for his family. And she went out and bought her first Bible. She doesn't go to church. She doesn't practice religion. But yet, all of a sudden, she's intrigued and interested in the Bible. And so we have a disparity, if you will, because oftentimes we take things, concepts, and we lump them together. I know I do. But when we see two concepts that we've often lumped together and see that they're moving in opposite directions, it forces us to separate them, because we can't lump them together. And so this morning, as I started chasing kind of my mind in this article I'm just giving you is the spark, okay? It's what sparked Kevin's interest. And my mind is now chasing, why are Bible sales going up, but religion still is going down, all right? Because so oftentimes, again, we've lumped those two things together, so I'm going to pull them apart this morning. So bear with me. All right. I will tell you, it's been a long, lonely road. And I have read more philosophical and theological things than I care to admit, because I'll be the first to tell you a lot of those are confusing. And so, because they get into places that my intellect is not high enough for. So I apologize for that. But one of the things that I've learned, and Lana even asked me, and so this is evolving in my mind, all right? Lana even asked me yesterday, she's like, I was wondering what you were preaching about this week. And I was like, truth seekers. I was like, that's my title. Well, I've already scrapped that, okay? I've already scrapped that idea. Because the more I've studied and the more I've looked at this, and when I say I've studied, I'm looking everywhere, all right? I'm looking at humanity, if you will. Because humanity has always been on this quest of truth and knowing what truth is. You guys have heard me say this before, and I believe it more today than I did when I spoke it the first time, that truth is a spiritual concept. Truth is a spiritual concept, and when it's taken out of its spiritual context, it really doesn't have the same validity that it does within spiritual context. Now the scientific world out there is going to tell you that that's not the case, that there's all kinds of truth out there that can be determined, that's not subjective, it's objective.
There's lots of fun stuff, trust me.
Matter of fact, a lot of those brainiacs, because that's a That's a very dumbed down term that I can understand. I don't even think they understand themselves what they're saying. It's such a twisted, like, thought process that they're stepping on their previous thought. And it's the craziest thing to try to read. Don't do it, all right, unless you're just really bored. Because it's confusing and it's goofy. But one of the guys that I read is like, the only place you can find truth is in mathematics. That stinks for me because I'm not very good at math. But as I started formulating this lesson, here was where I want to take you all this morning. Okay? I want to take you and start in a place that of my original topic, which is seek truth. Seek truth. Now, one of the things, and to be a truth seeker, does that sound good? Most everybody shaking their head. Yeah, that sounds good. And then I started thinking about, does anybody know anybody ever seen the movie National Treasure? Great show, right? And he's seeking something. What's he seeking? Treasure, right? Well, then he finds it. Does his seeking stop? Well, the seeking for that does, because he found it. And so here's my struggle with the concept seeking truth is you found it. Why are we seeking what we've already found? Because again, if it's a spiritual concept, Jesus says, I am truth. Jesus says, I'm truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am truth. And if we seek Jesus Christ and find him, what should we do then? Because I think there's a lot of people buying Bibles today because they're seeking something. They're seeking something that makes sense. They're seeking something that can't be explained away. They're seeking something, but they're not finding it here. And oftentimes they're not finding it in religious circles is because we have forgotten that we already found it. Now, if I'm seeking something and find it, then I get to enjoy the benefit of it, right? If you're not sure, do your head like this. But if I don't ever find it, then my quest for seeking continues. Y'all with me? Y'all's tracking my brain, right? And so the more I think about it, the more I don't want to say seek truth, the more I want to say abide in it. If you found what you're looking for, why not enjoy the benefit of it? I just talked to Adrian right before church started. I said, man, I saw a picture of your deer 2 weeks ago. Woo! That thing was a toad. Said it took him 10 days. He saw him once. And then 10 days later had an opportunity to shoot that deer. He was on a quest. He was seeking something specific, that deer. But once he got that deer, you know what he told me? He said, it's in the freezer now. And he gets to enjoy the benefit of that quest. And what I'm here to tell you this morning, as Christians, as believers, we need to stop seeking truth and start learning how to abide in it. Because there's a difference. Oftentimes when we maintain a quest of seeking something, it's we're trying to change it. See, the reality is most people who seek Jesus have found him, but they don't like what they found. And so they're trying to change it to conform to my comfort. Oh, that hurts my feelings. Because it's what I do. Oftentimes we're seeking something, when we find it, we go, it's really not what I was hoping for. I was hoping something different than that. I was hoping it would mean something different than that. And so for generations, Bible scholars are continually seeking something to make it more edible by mankind. And the reality is, I think that's why I love the presentation that Jesus is truth. It's not an idea. It's not a thought process. It's a man. And in this man is the totality of what God desires us to know. Is there anything out there that you wish you knew that you don't and you probably won't? Let's be honest. Lots of those kinds. And that consumes our mind, doesn't it? It consumes who we are because it's like, we don't like, anybody in here like the unknown? No. A lot of people can't live life because of the fear of the unknown. The uncertainty of what's tomorrow. Even though we can't manipulate it or change it, we think by our presentation to it, we can somehow tip the scales in our favor. And that's exactly what we do with truth. Oftentimes we see it, we acknowledge it, we recognize it, but we're unwilling to abide in it because what I'm trying to communicate this morning is if we'll get out of a seek mode and start getting in an abide mode, you're going to be a lot happier person. If you acknowledge and recognize truth for what it is and just say, oh, because here's the hard part. Jesus never claimed to be hard to find. Turn to Matthew chapter, let's start in 6. It's going to take me, I'm not there, so give me a second and I'll. And then we're going to go to 7. Let's read verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He's saying, hey, if you're going to seek something, seek the kingdom. We spent a lot of time over the last several months talking about kingdom, didn't we? We transpose the word church and put it in kingdom. He's saying, listen, if you want to seek something, seek first the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, you're going to find everything you need. Not just part of it, you're going to find everything that you need. Now if you go to Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek. Y'all know this scripture, right? And you will find. There's a lot of people on quests in their life, seeking something that they'll never find. And Jesus is telling us here in Matthew chapter 7, ask, it's going to be given to you. Seek, it's not going to be a mystery. You're going to find it. And so if I found it, what's my struggle? Obeying it. Obeying it. See, so often in our lives, we're trying to manipulate truth so we can find something that's a little bit softer to land on. Let's be honest with ourselves. Truth is sometimes not the prettiest thing to look at, is it? Because when we're staring at truth, there's a reflection of who we are in that truth. And the unfortunate part is oftentimes we don't measure up to the truth that we're staring at. And so instead of accepting it and embracing it and trying to learn to be obedient to it, we want to change it. So back to my original question when I read this news article, why is Bible sales going up? But religion is still on the decline. Which tells me people aren't finding truth where we think they should. Which begs the question, are we representing truth? Is truth found here? Not our interpretation of truth. See, that's the beauty of truth. It needs no interpretation. It either is or it isn't. It's either true or it's not. in one of the articles I read, this guy's having this debate with a guy on the internet about absolute truth. And he says, without any uncertainty believe that there is no absolute truth? The guy says, yeah, there's no absolute truth. He said, well, isn't that truth? Aren't you trying to create truth? It's in opposition to itself. Do you see the contradiction even in the person's statement? He's saying, yeah, I absolutely believe there's no truth. Well, you're just now making a claim of absolute truth. And see, that's the problem with truth. In our Christian circles, we see Jesus, he's called us to what? He's called us to him who is perfect. If he's called us to this place of truth, where's the struggle? You found him. It's obedience. It's always been obedience. It's never been in finding new truth. The quest of trying to find new truth in life is just trying to find a truth that's only... You guys have heard me say this before. One of the most frustrating concepts I've heard in my entire life is my truth. This is my truth. This is my truth. This is what's true for me. Whoever came up with that idea is crazy. But it's the idea that is in our society. That Jason, you have your truth, and it's because it's yours. I can't speak against it, because then that would be me bringing my truth over to your truth. That's the craziness of life. But the reality is, we've gotten into these places because we feel like there's this truth, and then there's this truth, and what's true, what's not true. And I'm here to tell you, it's one person, and it's Jesus. Turn to John chapter 16. I think. So through John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples about having to go. We've looked at that. We've studied that. Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand that he has to go, because the fulfillment of Scripture is that Jesus must be crucified. And so Jesus is trying to get his 12 to understand, listen, I've got to go. And imagine the helpless and the uncertainty in that. You've been hanging out with Jesus. He's been right there. You've watched him do some crazy things, and now he's fixing to tell you he's got to leave. And in the process of that, I'm sure there is a struggle. But when you get to John chapter 16, verse 13, there's the promise. It's before there, but this is kind of the conclusion of that. Let me start in verse 4.5. It says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he comes. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. I read that from a different perspective this week than I've ever read that before. The Holy Spirit has been given and granted to each of us to guide us in truth. The quest is over. Truth's been found. His name's Jesus. But we need a lot of guidance in that truth, don't we? Not to redefine it, not to make it look better, taste better, or hang on a wall better. But we need guidance in it to acknowledge, to embrace, to struggle with. But we got to quit trying to change it. Society, the world around us, needs to see Christian men and women not trying to change the truth, not trying to find some hidden concept in Scripture that all of a sudden is the revelation of a whole new ideology. It needs to find just people willing to abide and be guided in the truth that we already know. We already know this truth. His name's Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own authority, but speaks solely by what God has given him. And so what I want us to see this morning as we kind of think through this a little bit, and that's what we're doing. We're thinking out loud this morning. I want us to get into a position to where we're no longer chasing these ideas, but we're rock solid in the reality that my struggle, Kevin's struggle, is not truth. It's obedience to it. It's the ability to look at it and let it convict me. It's the ability to see it and allow it to continue to be true in spite of my inability to acknowledge or live up to it. Quit trying to change it so we feel better about life. Embrace it for the fullness of what it is. I'll close with this, and y'all have heard me say this before, but it's just a resounding gong in my head this morning. Acts chapter 2, as Peter and the apostles are giving the presentation of the death of Jesus in the cross and the redemption found in the blood of Jesus Christ, it says many of them were convicted. They were cut to the heart, and they cried out, What should we do? You see, in this moment in time in life in Acts chapter 2, thousands of people came face to face with truth, and they realized you can't avoid it, you can't dodge it, it's staring you in the face, and it requires something of me. I'm either going to embrace it, abide in it, but I've clearly found it. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sin. Two chapters later, a couple of them, Peter and I don't remember the other one, I think John, get hauled into the Sanhedrin for healing a man. The healing was evident. The leaders communicate and talk about this, and they asked Peter, they said, well, in whose name did you do this healing? Oh, in the name of truth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man was healed. Well, they couldn't deny the healing. They couldn't figure out a way around it. It was evident. This is someone they knew. And he used to not be well, and now he is. Because they couldn't deny the truth and were face to face with truth, they made a request of Peter. They said, don't do it anymore. Don't do it. Quit using the name of Jesus. Because one thing I know about truth is it's undeniable whether you embrace it or not. In two chapters in Scripture, very closely associated, you see some people embrace it and you see some reject it. But nowhere in there do you see anyone change it so it's more presentable or acceptable. You either embrace it or you reject it. And if we're going to embrace it, stop seeking it and start learning how to abide in it. Because the more we abide in Jesus Christ, the more that he will give us of understanding, of appreciation, of peace. Anybody out there want any peace? But we have got to quit trying to change it. I think religion is on the decline and Bible studies are on the incline because people in this generation are seeking something. They're seeking truth. They're not going to... Y'all hear me on this, okay? Don't... Everybody make sure your ears are on. They need to find it in Jesus Christ. They don't need to find it at the Bayfield Church of Christ. Let me be very clear on this. Our presentation should always be Jesus. My presentation should never be, let's fill the pews up. My presentation should always be, we need to introduce people to truth so that they can find truth and start learning how to abide in truth. It's not the system of church. Yes, people can find Jesus here, but are they finding Jesus? Not a community. One of the biggest things that I read over the last 2 weeks in some of the threads that I was chasing, and some of the people who struggle with religion, all right? Because let's be honest with you, if you're going to understand something, you got to listen to the other side. You with me on that? And most people on the other side that would consider themselves atheists, that say truth is not found in Scripture, it's a fallacy, most of those people are okay with you coming to church. I found that intriguing. Because they say, oh, it's a good community. You're right, it is. But is this a community that it's not only good for one another, but one that abides in truth? And when somebody walks through that door, our introduction for them is to truth. It's to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. See, everything that we've always been about should be about Him. Anything else is just fluff. My challenge for us is get on a quest. If you know Jesus Christ, the quest shouldn't be to seek Him anymore. It's to learn how to abide in Him. In John chapter 15, it talks about the true vine. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It's an abiding. It's understanding, hey, we found what we're looking for. Now I'm going to abide in it. Now I'm going to live my life as a reflection of what I have found. Jesus is not hiding behind a rock. He's standing up for everybody to see, and His desire is that none shall perish but have eternal life. Anybody who has a desire to be found will be found by those who seek Him. But once you find Him, we need to learn how to abide in Him. Because that is where peace comes from. There's not a lot of peace oftentimes on the journey, on the quest. But when you find what you're looking for, there can be great peace if you subject yourself to what you found. My challenge for us this morning is that everybody in here that I'm aware of acknowledges that they found Jesus. Now the question is, are you prepared to abide in Him? And be obedient within to that truth. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, man, it's going to be a good year, right? It's going to be a good year. Maybe I'll get my thoughts a little more organized. So that was, again, random thoughts from Kevin. But thoughts I hope that spark. You know, one of the things I've always tried to do to in my preaching or teaching, it doesn't matter. So I've just tried to spark something inside of you that makes you go, I need to look at that. Even if it's, I don't agree with Kevin, I need to look at that. I'm okay with that. Because what I want more than anything is to spark inside of you something that just makes you want to dig into this stuff. This stuff is fascinating. And there's beauty in it. There's forgiveness in it. There's struggle in it. But it's a beautiful thing. And so I hope that through some of this morning, that it has sparked in you a little bit different concept to maybe approach this year with God differently than you've approached Him before. If there's anything that we can do for you, I ask that you come as Mark leads us in an invitation song.